Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would guide and direct our time together this morning, Father. Lead us as we walk through this message, dear Lord, as we seek to answer the question, who is your master? We'd ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to discuss the importance of giving, that which we call stewardship. Now, next Sunday is Mother's Day, so we'll have a special message for the mothers and grandmothers there, but then we'll follow up after that. But we're going to be talking about stewardship. Money is always a controversial subject, and we rarely speak about it here, but from time to time, we do need to understand just what the Bible has to say about giving financially to the Lord. People worry about everything, and some have been worried even to worry about something they don't have nothing to worry about. But one of the biggest worries today is money. When we look at the banks and our financial situation and the stock market and all of those things, people are concerned, will we have enough to live on? Will we have enough money to live on? And because of that, it hinders sometimes people giving to the Lord. I read about a man who approached another man and told him he wanted to hire him, and he was going to pay him $100,000 a year to worry for him. And so the man looked at him and said to him, "You're going to give me $100,000 a year to pay my salary? How are you going to do that?" And the man just looked at him and said, "Well, that's your first worry, you know." That's your first worry. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about money and giving to the work of the Lord. And we want to look at that over the next few weeks. That's what we're going to be. We're looking at the why, the when, and the how of stewardship. But before you can ever get into answering the question of stewardship, we need to settle this important question. It's this: who is your master? Who is your master? You see, the answer to that question will guide us to not only see the importance of giving, but also that God knows and will provide for our needs. Giving to the work of the Lord requires faith. It requires trust in the Lord to provide for our needs. And when God is our master, we live with a peace in our hearts, knowing that he's going to take care of us. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to write in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." But Paul had complete faith and trust that no matter what, God would take care of his needs. And so today we're going to answer three different questions and hopefully see that we are to live by faith, and we can live by faith when God is our master. So first of all, let's look at verses 19 down through verse 24. And we're going to answer this question here. Where are you spiritually? You see, we're accustomed to dividing life into the spiritual and the material. Did you know that Jesus doesn't make such divisions? Jesus and his teaching never divided the spiritual and the material. For the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is spiritual. And so for us to understand stewardship, we must understand that it is a spiritual matter. Our hearts must be right with God. Stewardship, giving to the Lord, is a heart issue. And that's why Jesus said in our opening verse there, where your treasure is, so is your heart. We live in a world today that is interested in making as much money as possible. And there's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with possessions and having things, as long as that money and those possessions don't have you. As long as they don't have you. Jesus reminds us that everything that we have down here will one day be destroyed. Nothing is secure. A thief can come into your house at night and take everything they want. And we think of modern day technology, boy, they can get everything. They can steal your house. They can steal your everything, you know, tap into your credit cards or whatever. Nothing is secure today. And Jesus states here and warns us that all that we build up here on this earth will one day rot and disappear. The only thing that lasts throughout eternity is what you do for the kingdom of God. One only has to look around and see how everything disappears. The guy I first started working for out of the military in the crane industry, he was a hard, hard man to work for, hard. Demanded a lot. But he was a man with a generous heart. He gave, if somebody had a need, he'd give to them. I remember him one day, heard about a homeless man living underneath the bridge. He went and got the fella, and he got him clothes and an apartment and everything like that. And there was a Catholic nun in our town who had cancer, and he made sure that she got to her treatments and everything like that. He was that type of a person. And after I got saved, I tried to witness to him, and he wouldn't listen. He's been dead now for a few years. And Cindy and I rode past where I used to work yesterday. It's all gone. It's all gone. You know, we had 42 pieces of equipment, and every Friday we would line everything up like in a V. And so anybody that rode by, you saw all the nice, the tractors and trailers, the cranes and the bulldozers and everything, you know. There's nothing there now. All the buildings are falling down. Where I grew up, we used to have dairy farms, and everybody on our road was a dairy farmer, and the dairy farmers kept their barns nice and their driveways trimmed, and their farms looked nice. You drive around the neighborhood where I grew up, they're all gone. My dad's barn's gone. There's nothing there. It blew down. It's all gone. You see, nothing that we have here on this earth lasts. Nothing. How many people have seen their wealth just disappear? And so we need to be working and striving to store up treasures in heaven where no one can steal, and no one can steal what we have or what we've done for the Lord. That's what he says in verse 20. Lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Folks, every time that we give to the work of the Lord, whether it be in our time, our energy, our finances, every time we do that, you are making an investment in the kingdom of God. And God's kingdom is eternal. And so Jesus tells us to lay up our treasures in heaven. And that means that all that we do and all that we have should be for the glory of the Lord. Now remember, it's a heart issue. Jesus will remind his listeners and us That where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And if our heart is surrendered to God, and we understand that He owns everything, and that we owe everything that we have to Him, then it's not too hard to give back out of the abundance that He has given to us. And so the first thing Jesus tells us about as far as stewardship spiritually is, where's your heart? And then He asked a question in verse 22 and verse 23, what are you focusing on? We could ask the question from these verses, what are you allowing to influence your inner man? What are you focusing on? Is your focus on the things of this world, or are you focusing on kingdom issues? Jesus warns us, as our eyesight is bad, it will affect our entire life. If we keep our eyes on the troubles of this world, we keep our eyes on evil, we keep our eyes on the unstableness, and boy, this world is unstable today. Instead of keeping our focus above, then you're not going to have the victory in the area of stewardship, of giving to the Lord. You won't have a victory over worry. Many Christians don't give to the work of the Lord. And the reason they don't give is because their focus is in the wrong place. I've been in the ministry long enough to see many young Christians who come to know the Lord, and they have a little tiny house and they're struggling, but they give to the work of the Lord, and all of a sudden God gives them a better job. And when they get that better job, well, I can get a bigger house, and then we can get a new car. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're so far financially in debt, they'd say, Pastor, we just can't give right now because we have nothing left over. What happened? Their focus. Instead of focusing on the kingdom of God, they begin to focus on the things that the world has to offer. And now they say, I can't give to the work of the Lord. You see, our hearts and our eyes must be in the right place. And the only way our hearts and our eyes are going to be in the right place is how you answer that question, who is your master? Verse number 24. Jesus makes it very clear. You cannot show loyalty to two masters. Either Jesus Christ is your master or this world. You are either living for Him or the things of this world. The point that Jesus is making is this. Either Jesus is Lord or money is. It is a matter of the will. Will you be obedient to the will of the Father or not? Where is your focus? Stewardship is a spiritual matter, folks. Are we going to have faith that God will take care of us? Or will we be entrapped with the worries of the world? Our hearts must be right. And we need to have our eyes focused in the right place, working in the kingdom. And when Jesus Christ reigns in our lives, we will have no problem investing in the kingdom of God. And yes, that includes stewardship. Giving out of the wealth that Jesus gives to us. We made the statement a couple of weeks ago about the opportunity to give to help our young people go to camp. And I'll say it again, and I believe it in the depths of my heart, that you will never make any better investment than investing in the life of a young person. Amen. Giving them that opportunity to go and to hear preaching and teaching and fellowship with other Christians, to realize, hey, we're not in this alone. There's other Christian kids out there that are serving the Lord as well. No greater investment than to do that. No greater investment than to invest in the ministry here, that we might reach out to people of the Lord. But you have to settle that question. Who is your master? Now he goes on in verses 25 and following. Notice what he says, therefore. He says, for this reason. Why are you worrying? And one of the greatest reasons we don't give to the work of the Lord is because of that worry about tomorrow. Because of worry, we hold back on investing in the work of the Lord. And Jesus says, therefore, for this reason, I say to you, don't let the worries of today keep you from focusing on the kingdom of the Lord. I read this the other day. It said this, you will never change it. You are never going to change a behavior as long as you regard it as acceptable. Now, what do I mean by that, folks? As long as we let the cares and the worries of this world control us, then you're not going to be able to give to the Lord the way the Lord wants you to give. But here's something you need to recognize. When we allow the worries of this world to control us and keep us from investing in the work of the Lord, I'm going to say this, and I mean it here. To worry like that is a sin. It is a sin. We need to see that worry is a sin that must be repented of. In verses 25, 31, 34, you write them down. Jesus commands us not to worry or to be anxious. The only difference in the commands is this. In verse 25, literally means stop worrying. And in verse 31, it says don't start worrying. Jesus said, look, if you're worrying about the things of tomorrow, stop it. And if you're okay, well, don't start. Don't start worrying. Don't let Satan deceive you and draw you into there where you start worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. The word worry or anxious is based on a Greek word which means to divide, to pull in different directions, to pull in different directions. Our English word comes from an old German word that means to choke or to strangle. And so when you think about the worries of this world that's keeping you from serving the Lord, that word worry that Jesus used here means it's pulling you in opposite direction. It's going to choke you. It's going to choke the life out of you. How can you enjoy the things that the Lord has for you if you let worry control your life? As a matter of fact, Jesus here talks about two different types of worry. He says, first of all, in verse 25 and verse 31, don't worry about the physical necessities of life. Now, that was very relevant for that day, because in those days, a man would work and get paid that day so he could buy food for his family. I remember on the farm, my dad, we used to have people come out to the farm to pick tomatoes before they got the harvester, and my dad would pay the workers every day. And a lot of those workers needed that money to go and buy food for their families. Matter of fact, my dad many times would go to the store and buy food. They would give him a list of what they needed. And he would send my mom to the store and she would buy the food and they would just take it out of their pay for that day. And that's the way it was in these days, you know, because of the plagues and locusts and everything like that, you know, they had a lack of food. And yes, people today worry about being able to feed their families. You know, look at the grocery bills. You know, we worry about those things. But do we worry about them to the extent that it's going to keep us from serving in the kingdom of God? He said, don't worry about tomorrow in verse 34. We tend to worry about the wrong day. I read this, that the future is rarely as bad as some of us fear. And it's been said that many crucify themselves between two thieves, the regrets of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. You know, we allow our past to affect our lives for the Jesus Christ, and we worry about tomorrow, and that affects our lives so we don't give to the Lord the way we should. We need to regard worry as a sin and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us to victory over that sin. Jesus also tells us something else, folks. First of all, when we don't give to the work of the Lord because we're worried about God taking care of our finances, he says it's a sin. And he says this in verse 26, remember who you are. You're valuable to God. I read a statement that said, worry suggests that God is more interested in his pets than his children. We could have almost had an exciting day today. I found out that yesterday there was a bird flying around in here. I said, man, you should have left him in here. I'm going to talk about the birds in the air, you know. He could have had one swoop down on you guys, you know. You'd have thought I was really powerful, you know. You know, go down. But they captured the little guy and let him go, you know. But think about this, folks. Through the providential working in nature, God provides for the needs of the birds. Now, they have to spend time hunting and searching for the food. I think we're feeding every bird in our neighborhood. I got a bird feeder like this, and every day, every bird in the neighborhood must be, hey, go over to Greg's house, you know? You know? But Jesus is encouraging us. Notice what he says. He says, you know, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't store stuff in the barns. Yet, your Father feeds them. And notice what he says. Are you not more valuable than them? You and I have been created in the image of God. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why then let concern over physical needs distract you or me from what is really important? And what is really important? Go back to verse 19 through 24. What is really important? Investing in the kingdom of God. That's what's really important. And he says, understand that you are valuable to God. And he says in verse 27, worry doesn't change a thing. You can worry all you want about tomorrow, and guess what? It's not going to change a thing. You're not going to add one day to your life. You know, you're not going to solve anything that way, you know. You know, we can worry about a storm coming. It's not going to change it, but I can prepare for it, right? I can prepare for the storm. Now, there's things that goes on, and we know in our society today, you know, in no sense in worrying about it, there's nothing we can do about it, but we can prepare for it. Because when we allow those things to draw and cause us to worry, it robs us. It robs us of the joy that God wants us to have that day. One person said, most things we worry about never happen. I like what Vance Harvener said. He said, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. I like that. You know? So you can worry all you want, you know. It's not going to help you. Remember, folks, the biggest troubles you have got to face sometimes are those that never come. Those that never come. Worry misses the point of life, and it's a waste of time. But here's something that's very important. If you look at verse 30, when we don't give to the work of the Lord because we're worried about tomorrow, according to Jesus, it's a lack of faith. If you look at verse 30, notice what he says. He says, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. After speaking of their worries, Jesus said, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Jesus gave them the example there of the lilies in the field. I mean, without any toil whatsoever on their part, with any care from anybody from human agency or whatever, their glory, he says, surpasses that of Solomon. Passes out of Solomon. And the phrase, oh, a little faith, is used, yes, used four times in the Gospels, speaking to his disciples, oh, you of little faith. And the point is that we should apply faith to whatever situation we're facing. When we worry, we are showing an absence of faith, an unwillingness to apply faith to whatever that problem might be, whatever that need might be, whatever the necessity that we need for life. When we allow worry to rob us from taking care or working in the kingdom of God, Jesus says it's a lack of faith. Think about this. If God is able to clothe the grass of the field, Jesus said, is he not able and willing to do so for you? One man put it this way. He says, when you lack faith, you're saying, God, I know you mean well by what you say, and I'm just not sure you can pull it off. It's a very simple way of putting it. God, I know I should give. I know that you've blessed me and out of your abundance I should give. But you know this is coming up and the car might break down and this might happen. You know, there might be a storm. God, I know you mean well, but I'm not really sure you can do it. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. When we worry, it exposes a lack of faith in the Lord, and it hinders us from investing in the kingdom and the work of the Lord. Having a primary concern with material things is a characteristic, Jesus said, of an unsaved person. And he reminds us that tomorrow will take care of itself. God intends for us to live one day at a time, and he gives us sufficient grace one day at a time. And we're not capable of handling tomorrow's worries. We have no control of what's going to happen tomorrow. And today's problems are all that we need, and we're capable of handling today. So we'll just say this. Let's let tomorrow take care of itself. We need to be trusting God and doing what he says. And very quickly, I just want to share this with you. The third question, how can I have victory over worry so that I can faithfully invest in the kingdom of God? And it's very simple, folks, very simple. Trust. Trust in the provision and the protection of God. We have seen that worry is an indication of a lack of faith. It's a sin. And the more that we come to understand who God is, the greater your faith will be. Verse 32, Jesus reminds us, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. There is not a single need you will ever have in your life that God does not already know. He already knows it. And he will take care of that need. For God not only knows, but he has the power and the resources to provide for you. Remember in verse 26, he said, look at the birds. That verb look means to fix one's gaze upon, to consider intently. In other words, look at them. Think about what God does for them. And if he takes care of them, can we not trust him to take care of us? So instead of worry, you and I should trust God to provide for us, to protect us. George Mueller once wrote, the beginning of worry and anxiety is the end of faith, but the beginning of the true faith is the end of worry. So trust God. That's simply that. Trust him. Number two, pray. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Just pray. Did not Peter tell us that we are to cast all of our cares upon him? Why? Because he cares for us. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:7, and that the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to pray. We need to take our concerns and our worries and take them before the throne of God who cares for you and wants to meet those needs. And Paul says when we do that, guess what? Worry will flood away as peace floods your soul. And then thirdly, and I'll be done. And this is important, folks. Get your priorities right. Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. We are to seek his rule, his reign in our lives, every aspect of our lives. We need to seek God's kingdom in God's way, investing our time, investing our energy, investing our finances in the pursuit of his kingdom. That little word seek there in verse 33 is what they call a present imperative in the Greek. And it means this, be consistent seeking. That's what it means. Be consistent seeking. Instead of seeking what this world has to offer, seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. And then we have the promise that he gives us. All of these things will be added to you. So if you and I put the kingdom of God first, then we know that he's going to take care of whatever earthly needs we have. And when we invest in the kingdom of God and he takes care of us, you're storing up treasure in heaven. And whatever you store in heaven has eternal value, because no one or nothing can take away what you've invested in the kingdom of God. Now, the number one reason why we hesitate to give to the work of the Lord is worry about tomorrow. Also, if our heart and our focus is in the wrong place, if your heart and your focus is not in the right place, then you will not see the importance of investing in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said this to us today. He said, examine your heart. Who's your master? Make sure your heart is in the right place. Make sure that you're serving the master, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't let the worries and the concerns about tomorrow hinder you from serving the Lord today. For my God is able, and all we have to do is look around, and we can see that our God is able. And when you put God and his kingdom first, you will have no problem investing in the work of the kingdom. God will supply all of your needs, and you will see God do wonderful and marvelous things that all we can do is sit there and say, God did it. God did it. It's so important, folks, that we understand. As I said, money is something we usually don't talk about. It's a hard issue to talk about. And we thank you. This church is a very giving church. And we thank you and praise you for that. But from time to time, we need to be reminded that the most important thing we can do is invest in the kingdom of God, which means your time, your energy, and yes, your finances. As God blesses you, give back unto him that the work of the kingdom continue to grow and we continue to see people saved and lives changed for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you that you give us the opportunity that as we sit at the end of the week and we see the way that you've taken care of us and blessed us in so many, many different ways, and then we realize that we have an opportunity to give back out of the abundance that you have given to us so that First Baptist Church can help spread the gospel to missionaries around the world, to local events right here. But so importantly, Father, for those that are here today, we're able to have Bible study and Sunday school and junior church, and young people can go to camp, and we have preschool, and all of these different things we're able to do for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people would come to know about Christ. And we know, Father, we're able to do that because you enable us to do that through the hearts of the people here that are willing to give. Give to invest in the kingdom of God, an investment that will last through all of eternity. Speak to our hearts today, Father. Speak to me first. Speak to my heart as to what I should do in this area in my life. Speak to our hearts today. Help us to experience the joy and the hope that we have in Christ in giving back to the work of the kingdom. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.